Jazz in the Valley in Poughkeepsie began as an afternoon of music when TransArt received an individual artist commission from the New York State Council on the Arts to commission Ahmad Jamal to create an original composition for the organization. Inspired by the natural beauty of the area, he created Picture Perfect, and it was first heard in concert in the summer of 2000. The festival has grown into an annual festival showcasing music performed by world-class musicians, fittingly complemented by breathtaking views of the Hudson River Valley as a backdrop. Jazz in the Valley has an intergenerational programming philosophy. Its programming allows living legends and younger voices to continue to expand the jazz idiom. TransArt's President Greer Smith joins us this morning for a preview. Good morning, and thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me.
A delight to have you on the program and a delight to hear about Jazz in the Valley. I mentioned a little bit, telling a little bit about the story, but how has this grown over the last decade or so?
When we started with Ahmad Jamal, it was just him, and we had an environmental art installation by an artist by the name of Adamola Olubufola, and we were at a winery. And that was so well received that it continued to grow, and we had to change venues. And with each venue, the audience grew, and it is in the installation that you see now on the bank of the Hudson River in the city of Poughkeepsie.
So now when it comes to a mission and a festival, what is it that you're looking, what kind of music do you want to bring in? We'll talk about the artists in a moment, but what kind of music are you looking to bring in?
Well, you know, we're not going to run out of jazz festivals, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Absolutely.
But it still hasn't received its place in terms of what happens to the musicians. One of the reasons why we continue to do this is that for the people that have made this music what it is and have set the language for this art form, I always get a phone call that somebody has passed on, and we have to pass the hat, or they're sick, and we have to pass the hat, and they have not been part of the incarnation that the music is in now where they have reached any of the monetary benefits. That's one of the reasons why we continue to do it. The other reason is, part of our mission is to bring younger people into this art form, to let them hear it. Most of the time when you look at a jazz audience, it's like an AARP convention. The average age for the audience is 45 to 55. That's the average age. So we have to look at ways to introduce young people to this music. It's become more difficult when we have 30-year-old grandparents in some of our communities. So we do this, and we have an educational component called Behind the Beat, where we bring the artists into the schools. So that's our mission, to educate and to increase the audience and the audience appreciation.
I touched on this in the introduction, but one of the things that I love about your mission and what you're trying to do is that intergenerational programming and a philosophy that guides so much of what you do. You want to take these younger artists and match them with living legends, and not only do we as an audience benefit from that, but obviously both performers benefit from that.
Oh, absolutely, and some wonderful things have happened because of that. The year that we had Albany's own Stephon Harris, we also had the incomparable Randy Weston on the bill, and Stephon had never met Randy Weston, and Randy being, you know, old man of jazz that he is, Stephon said, you know, very enamored, you know, Mr. Weston, I'd like to perform with you one day. And so Randy said to him, well, what about right now? I didn't know this conversation was taking place. The next thing I saw to the side of my eye, Randy was setting up, and then I saw Stephon moving his marimba onto the stage, and I'm saying, well, where are the stagehands? What's going on? And as they, and the first part of Randy's set, they hit together. I could not have asked. The audience went away just amazed. It was just wonderful. It was a wonderful afternoon and a wonderful surprise.
And something that is, as I said, is beneficial to all parties involved, not only the audiences, but certainly to the performers. And what kind of feedback do you get from from those living legends and those new voices about that experience and those opportunities?
Part of the feedback is their willingness to come in and do the school program without hesitation. We take good care of them. Jazz musicians are also not treated very well outside of this country. The places that they have to perform are still not that great. You know, the dressing rooms are like the size of postage stamps, and in many cases they don't get a meal at the end of the day. And we're talking about, you know, wonderfully talented people. So I get feedback because of their treatment. I get feedback because of my ability to get them to have interviews with folks that normally don't ask to talk to them when they arrive in, particularly in New York, when they arrive in New York City. So their treatment, the way that we highlight them, the printed material that we give out at the festival, all of that, and the audience response. We're growing. We don't want to get too big, but because we still have a sense of intimacy. Folks that come will bring their vinyl, and the cats get to sign their vinyl. They love it. They're treated like rock stars.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of feedback that I get. And I hear when they're on the road in Europe, I'll say, I was at Jazz in the Valley. Yeah, they treated us really well. You know, that kind of thing. That's what we want.
Talk a little bit about the audiences that are in the Hudson Valley. Is it a different audience? What I have always heard artistically, and I assume this is the same for jazz, but I don't know. But we've obviously had we have had opera groups, and we've had Shakespeare festivals, and we've had theater festivals, and they all talk about the sophistication of the audience.
Yes, the audience is very sophisticated, and here why we're lucky that we get people. More than half of our audience comes from out of town.
Right.
So that's this festival is also economic driver for wherever we are. We have overnight stays and all of that. So folks get to come, and so there's another addition to the audience where there's more interaction with the Jazz in the Valley audience. It becomes like old home week. I've heard people say, "Well, I heard so and so at." Whatever venue, but I didn't hear them play like they played at Jazz in the Valley. So it's a little different.
Well, let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming schedule and season. It's the 13th annual festival, and will be taking place in Poughkeepsie. So what will be going on?
Well, we'll have multiple stages happening this year for the first time. The main stage, of course, has ticketed seating, but we're also offering a stage because of the way the park is situated. At the opening of the park, there's a pavilion, and that pavilion stage will present local artists, and it's free and open to the public. Just bring your lawn chair and your blanket, and you'll be privy to some of the best of what the Hudson Valley has to offer. And on that stage, you will see a wonderful newcomer by the name of Malua, who was born in Malawi because her dad happened to be the chair of Black Studies at SUNY New Paltz. And she's a wonderful, wonderful performer in the vein of Nina Simone and Odetta. And we'll be presenting her on that pavilion stage. Charles Eubanks, who is out of the Motown tradition, because we know all of the Motown artists were jazz musicians before they started playing that Motown sound. And Big Joe Fitz and the Lo-Fi's, which is a blues band. So the pavilion stage will have on it all of the components that might be a derivative of jazz or part of the progression of this music that was born in America, and all of that will be on the pavilion stage, and that's free and open to the public. Our main stage artist is very exciting because the other thing that I do is I'm also the artistic director, and I kind of work with the musicians during the year because we're also educating an audience, and with that we want folks to go away with understanding that jazz is not headache music. It's not all cerebral. You feel it. And so I want to make sure that because we are a venue that's outside, that you go away with your spirit lifted And as Duke Ellington says, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. So I want the cats to swing when they come.
So some of the names on that stage.
The names on this stage, it's a group that got together just to do this. It's called Sax Appeal Volume 1, and the name Sax Appeal was coined by for this group by Jimmy Heath. It's led by Javon Jackson, and Jimmy Heath is in it, Gary Bartz is in it, and Donald Harrison. So these are four of the premier saxophonists that are playing today, and they will be playing together as Sax Appeal on that main stage. A wonderful vocalist out of St. Louis by the name of Denise Times. She is in the tradition of Carmen McRae and Sarah Vaughan, and backing her is the wonderful Houston Person and Danny Mixon. So we're very excited to have Denise with us. Another young man, he came to us a few years ago. His name is Maurice Brown. He plays the trumpet, and he just blew the audience away. And since he was with us, he has got a Grammy in one hand now and his trumpet in the other as he returns. So we're very excited to have Maurice with us. And he's in his 20s. He's wonderful. There's a local Hammond B3 player by the name of Mike Torsone that learned to play the Hammond B3 while he was running around his parents' funeral home here in the Hudson Valley. And he is just dynamic and wonderful. And we're glad to have him. We always have a Latin group, and this year it'll be 3D Ritmo de Vida, the rhythm of life, and it says it all in the title of the group. So we're really happy. We're going to go out really swinging and dancing.
Well, absolutely. It's a wonderful time. It's Jazz in the Valley. It takes place on Sunday. You can find out more information about both stages and all the great events, jazzinthevalleyny.org, jazzinthevalleyny.org. Greer Smith, thank you so much for all you do and for this wonderful event, and I appreciate you sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.